Thank you for being here today. The music has been beautiful, and you all look so wonderful this morning. Thank you for being here. Now, I may be wrong, but I believe that today marks the first time in BYU history that two former teammates were back-to-back speakers at a BYU devotional. And guess what? You heard the best of the two last week with Coach Kalani Sitake. So I'm just grateful that you're here today. You showed up, and honestly, it's great to be home. I do love the Lord, and I do love this university. And I love President and Sister Reese. Their leadership, their genuine love for the Lord, and their unwavering passion for BYU sports are truly inspiring. Now, he may not remember this, but one of my favorite interactions, my first interactions with President Reese, was unforgettable and slightly terrifying. It happened at a BYU football game last year. I was invited, alongside two legends, Reno Mahe and Steve Young, to run the alumni flags onto the field before the game. Now, picture this. The football team is behind us, packed in the tunnel. Adrenaline is at an all-time high, ready to storm the field. Meanwhile, there I was, gripping the flag like my life depended on it, silently praying that I wouldn't trip, fall, or heaven forbid, get flattened by the players behind me. But just seconds before we bolted onto the field, I don't know how this happened, but I glanced to the side and locked eyes with President Reese. His eyes were as big, as wide as a blitzing linebacker. Veins were popping out of his neck. And he was screaming with so much excitement that it felt that he might sprint out there himself. And in that moment, somehow all my fear vanished away and it was replaced with pure adrenaline. Suddenly, I wanted to grab a couple of helmets, some shoulder pads, and go and play in the game with President Reese. President Reese isn't just a leader, he's a force of nature. And I'm grateful for the example he and Sister Reese set every day. I'm sure others have had similar experiences with President and Sister Reese, but for me, that day, it was an unforgettable moment. From the experiences at the Lavelle Edwards Stadium to the Marriott Center, this place has been the setting for countless unforgettable moments over the years. Here, we have welcomed world leaders, visionary innovators, and renowned artists. This arena has also been a place of unforgettable moments in BYU sports, including the day in 2011 when number 9 BYU, led by Jimmer Fredette, faced number 4 San Diego State and Kawhi Leonard in front of 22,700 fans. It was a game for the ages. Another unforgettable moment came in 2017 when a dear friend and former teammate addressed the fans as a new BYU football coach. And then again last week when he addressed you as the devotional speaker with a powerful message. Coach Kalani Sitake is truly a BYU legend. For our family, one of the most cherished moments in the Marriott Center took place in October of 1995, when President Gordy B. Hinckley was the speaker. Among the record-setting audience of 25,875, there was one person who carried a quiet but fervent prayer in her heart, a child of divorced parents, having spent much of her life less active in the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was earnestly seeking to strengthen her testimony. That day, the Spirit reached out to that one student amid tens of thousands, and her life changed forever. She received a witness that President Gordon B. Hinckley was a prophet of God, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored in its fullness. That young woman later became my eternal sweetheart. And she has been a blessing to me and to countless others. I love you, Heb. Brothers and sisters, this place is more than just an arena. It is a place of revelation. And in many ways, it can be like a sacred grove where the heavens are open for one seeking truth. I pray that each of you may have your own sacred experience, one that will be a blessing not only for you, but also for your family and future generations. Throughout the scriptures, we learn of sacred places where revelation was received. Moses ascended a mountain to commune with the Lord. Nephi sought the Lord's guidance and strength also on a mountaintop. Lehi, while dwelling humbly in a tent, testified of the coming of the Messiah, his redeeming mission, and his resurrection. And who can forget the powerful revelations the prophet Joseph Smith received in Liberty Jail? A place of unimaginable difficulty that became a sanctuary of divine communication. Your heavenly Father wants to speak to you too, and is eager to give away the secrets of the kingdom. He will do it in his way, time, and place. Elder David A. Bednar explained, God uses a variety of patterns to convey revelations to his sons and daughters, such as thoughts to the mind and feelings to the heart, dreams, and inspiration. Some revelations are received immediately and intensely. Some are recognized gradually and subtly. Receiving, recognizing, and responding to revelation from God are spiritual gifts for which we all should yearn and appropriately seek. Once you receive and recognize revelation, the questions arise. What will you do with it? How will you respond? I love the story of the brother of Jared in the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. The Lord answered his prayer to spare his family from having their language confounded. With the Lord's guidance, they crossed great waters and reached the seashore, pitched their tents, and settled in. Life was good. They were together as a family, enjoying what could only be described as prime real estate, a tent with an ocean view. But after a few years, the Lord came to the brother of Jared with a powerful lesson. In a conversation that lasted 3 hours, the Lord chastened the brother of Jared for forgetting to call upon him. Humbled and repentant, the brother of Jared turned back to the Lord. What came next was a command that has become a guiding principle for me. In Ether 2:16, the Lord instructed the brother of Jared to go to work and build. These three words, go, work, and build, resonate deeply with me, and I believe they can serve as a pattern for the way we respond to revelation and guidance from the Lord. Now, when the Lord commands us to go, it is always with a purpose. His direction is intentional, leading us towards growth, greater faith, and blessings, even though sometimes the destination is unknown to us. Throughout the scriptures, we see powerful examples of this sacred call. The Lord told Abraham to leave an idolatrous city and go into a new land. He told Joshua to go over Jordan and lead Israel to the promised land. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And in his great commission, the Savior told his disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. An invitation for me to go came during my freshman year at BYU. It was 1995. I was an anxious kid from American Samoa, completely culture shocked, but absolutely determined and excited about the American college experience. Here were my goals: get an education, play sports, and, well, you know, date. Simple plan, right? Three boxes to check, nothing too complicated, but little did I know, the Lord reminded me of an important addition to my checklist: serve a full-time mission. Of course, I knew that this should be one of my goals, but if I'm being honest, I tried my best to maybe sidestep that one. At the time, it was inconvenient. I had goals, and I didn't think I knew enough about the gospel, and I thought, maybe a mission isn't for me at this time. But no matter how much I tried to push it aside, the prompting kept coming. The message was clear: go. And as I reflect back on my mission experience, I see that it wasn't just another box to check. It was the catalyst that set me on a path that continues to bless my life today. So when the Lord says go, he's inviting us to trust him, to proceed with courage. The very mission of this wonderful university comes to mind: enter to learn, go forth to serve. As we act in faith, we will come to see that wherever the Lord leads, he always prepares the way, and it requires work. At times, we may see work as something to avoid, but the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us that work is a blessing. It can be invigorating both mentally and spiritually. As Elder Neil A. Maxwell explained, work is always a spiritual necessity, even if for some, work is not an economic necessity. In a powerful BYU devotional address, Elder David A. Bednar taught,
"As disciples and members of the Lord's restored church, you and I are called to the work. And in different seasons of our lives, we fulfill various purposes and responsibilities. Through the power of God's grace and mercy, every act of selfless service that we render helps us become more acquainted with the Master whom we represent and draws us closer to him." President Ezra Taft Benson taught, "Ours is a gospel of work, purposeful, unselfish, and rendered in the spirit of the true love of Christ. Only thus may we grow in godly attributes. Only thus may we become worthy instruments in the hands of the Lord. Work is love made manifest. Doing God's holy work by the power of his Spirit changes our hearts and minds in remarkable ways."
Elder David A. Bednar continued to teach that as the spiritual work progresses, we become sanctified as new creatures in Christ. Ultimately, we become the works, or the results, of God's work. Our progress is his work. Brothers and sisters, as you answer the Lord's call to go, remember that your work is more than just getting through classes, preparing for a career, or building a resume. It's building yourself into the person God created you to be. Because the brother of Jared went to work and build, the Lord had a far greater blessing for him than a tent with an ocean view. He had prepared a promised land, but more than just a destination, he was being prepared for future revelation, shaping and building him into a person whose story will be respected and honored for generations. Now, let me share with you how I learned for myself this powerful truth. When you go to work and build, God builds you. Here's a photo from my final football camp at BYU. At this time, Heather and I had one child, and later that year, we would learn that our second was on the way. We couldn't see what lay ahead, the challenges, the growth, the unseen blessings. But looking back now, we see the Lord's hand in every step. As my senior year ended, I was ready to hang up the football cleats. I loved and love BYU football, but I struggled a lot with self-doubt, anxiety, and the constant fear of failure. I had coaches who believed in me, NFL scouts who came to watch, but I didn't believe in myself. Rather than stepping up, I often stepped back, convinced I wasn't good enough. So in my mind, I was done. And as I sought the Lord's guidance for the future, he redirected my path. Following regular temple visits and studying of the scriptures and praying earnestly, I received an unmistakable prompting: pursue an NFL career. It wasn't what I wanted, It wasn't what I had planned, but I chose to trust the Lord. That moment didn't just change my life. It changed our life. This single picture captures our NFL journey. Three children born in three different states while I was playing for three different teams, all in just 3 years. It wasn't the kind of career that made ESPN headlines, but it was a journey of faith, resilience, and sacrifice. And no one sacrificed more than my dear wife, Heather. While I was on the field trying to make an NFL roster, she was holding everything else together, packing up our home, driving across country, living out of suitcases, raising babies in unfamiliar cities, and supporting me through every uncertainty. She gave up the stability of home, the comfort of community, and her own plans, all because she trusted in what the Lord was building in both of us. Through every challenge, she never wavered. When I chose to go and work, God built me into something far greater than a football player. He was making me a stronger husband, a more present father, and a man who would trust him fully. And Heather was right there beside me, growing, stretching, and becoming the person God needed her to be as well. After a career-ending injury in 2007, we were ready to settle in Utah. We had stability, we had bought a home, our children had lifelong friends, life was good. And in so many ways, we felt that we had arrived. But God had other plans. As I focused on growing my business, I received a clear impression, an undeniable one. Move your family to American Samoa. I was stunned because I had vowed never, ever to return after high school. And I had promised Heather, an American, that we would not. And when I told her about the prompting, she listened. Then, with her characteristic wisdom and patience, she gently reminded me she hadn't received that prompting yet. And just days later, she did. At first, we hoped to wait until our children graduated before moving. But once again, the Lord asked us to trust him. He called me to repentance, just as he did the brother of Jared. Do not delay the prompting. We were to move that year. Without hesitation, Heather led the way. She helped put everything in order, packed up our belongings, sent them in a shipping container to American Samoa. Our faithful children embraced the call, said tearful goodbyes, and gave away all of their winter clothes, ready for island life. Then COVID hit. American Samoa closed its borders for almost a year. Our home and belongings sat on an island while we remained in Utah, uncertain of what was next. Heather's faith never wavered. She held our family together, steady in the unknown, trusting that God had a purpose in all of it. And then, out of nowhere, came the call. A Zoom interview with Elder David A. Bednar. He told us that we were being considered to serve as mission leaders. We were shocked and deeply humbled. He asked a series of questions, particularly about our children. How would they feel if they had to pack up and move to a foreign country? Suddenly it hit me. God's command to move to American Samoa had never been about the business or about giving our children an island experience. It was about preparation. It was about faith and a willingness to serve. It was about our family's trust in the Lord's command to go to work and build. Looking back, I see it clearly. With every move, every sacrifice, and every unknown, God was preparing us. We weren't just enduring, we were growing. We weren't just following, we were becoming. I was learning to trust the Lord fully as a husband and father, and Heather was becoming the steady anchor of faith and strength that would help our family through every storm. And through it all, God was building us, our family, our faith, and our future, one act of trust, one step forward at a time. Serving as mission leaders in the Australia Sydney Mission stretched us beyond anything we could have imagined. But more importantly, it built us in ways we never could have foreseen. We have loved being with you today. Thanks for your time and your attention, and most of all, for who you are. In closing, I want to leave with you one last story about our son, Adney, who will be attending BYU in a year. It's surreal to think that soon he'll be sitting in these seats, listening to devotional talks, praying for personal revelation, and let's be honest, also hoping for good grades and a fun date on Saturday. As a kid, Adney had two settings, full speed and crazy. His favorite pastime was giving his mother a headache and high blood pressure. The moment the front door cracked open, he was gone, bolting down the street with zero regard for his surroundings. I'd often hear Heather frantically calling after him, "Adney, don't go. Stop. Come back." That happened weekly, if not daily. Fast forward to the day he left for the Denmark-Copenhagen mission. Heather wrote him a note that said something like this: "Today, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to ask you not to look back. Open the door to your next phase of life and run." Or in other words, go. Because Adney trusted in the Lord to go on a mission and work, the Lord built him from this to this. So, can I leave with you that same invitation today? Maybe you're here today searching for an answer, a confirmation of your faith, direction in your future career, or clarity in dating and marriage. Know that God hears you, He sees you, and He is leading you. Go, work, build, and don't look back. Trust that the Lord has a plan. He knows your desires, your goals, your hopes. If He prompts you to move forward in faith, go with courage. Work at it with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. Trust that the Lord is building you. I bear you my humble witness that Jesus Christ is our great example. In Nazareth, He was known as the carpenter's son, but the things He built were eternal. He went, He worked, and built, and continued to do so that He might build us. He is the rock upon which we must build our lives, the sure and steady guide who strengthens, refines, and lifts us. May we always choose to follow Him, trusting in His plan as He builds our lives of faith, shaping us into who we are meant to become today and for eternity. In the sacred name of the Savior of the world, the Master Builder, even Jesus Christ, amen.